Happy Open Line Thursday, Junks Marks. We are the Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. 910 The Fan, if you're listening in Richmond, VA, we do appreciate that. And Monumental Sports Network as well. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team. Do that today. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes, where you find me on Twitter at Cakes Flops on Instagram. I'm joined this morning by Jason Bishop.
Good morning, Cakesy.
Good morning to you.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to ye.
You've got two more days.
That is correct.
And you're off to South Kakalaki.
That is also correct.
Yep.
Bright and early Saturday morning. Would like to be out of my driveway by no later than 4 o'clock.
Ooh, that's early.
4 a.m.
I got to wait another week.
Got to wake up the bleary-eyed kids, stuff them into the car, and just start speeding down I-95. That's the plan. Responsibly speeding. I'm not talking about going like 90 miles per hour. I'm talking about like
75.
Yeah, solid 75 to 78.
Yep.
Just gets the job done.
Yep.
Very solid. Good speed.
That's what I'll be doing 2 weeks after you.
Very good. Well, I hope you have safe travels.
To North Kakalaki.
Shorter trip for you. It's always better.
What part do you go to?
Oak Island.
Okay.
Leave on the 16th.
Sounds nice.
Jason keeps track of not only his vacation, he keeps track of your vacations.
Sure,
he
why not?
He knows where everybody's going.
Well, he talked about it yesterday.
All right.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
In one ear, out the other for me.
I know, you don't care.
I know, that's Eric Bickle sitting to my right.
Yeah, and I do know, though, that you had your Cakes Classic last night. Sounds like you had a great turnout.
Yeah, it was a really good turnout. I believe 112 entries last night.
Great.
It sucked that B. Mitch couldn't come because of a scheduling conflict.
That's all right.
I think the D-Gens showed out in force because my bounty, instead of the standard $300 bounty, was a tournament seat to the upcoming tournament series that starts in mid-August, and two tickets to Commander Seahawks, which is the night when I believe Art Monk's jersey is being retired.
That's a big one. That's
a big one. So that was probably like, I don't know. That's basically a $1,000 bounty package.
Right.
So I mean.
Brought the D-Gens out.
Couldn't have made less impact. I didn't win any bounties. I got knocked out about 40 spots from the money. I was at the table with Big John for a bit.
Was he awake the whole time?
He was awake.
Yeah. Smelly?
He still had chips when I got eliminated. So who knows? He may have cashed.
He's the kind of guy that would be good at tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, he's done well before. It did make me laugh, though. A guy that I know, a regular, that plays in my tournament, he DM'd me. He goes, "Who's this big dude at my table named John? Seems to be a Junks regular."
Uh-huh.
And then he follows up. He's quite a character. Keeps mentioning he called in today to try to be the other bounty, which he did. He also has zero idea how the big blind ante works. that's a poker geeky thing.
He's flummoxed by that?
I guess. Maybe he's catching up to the whole big blind ante puts the chip in for everybody at the table instead of everybody anteing up.
Right.
It's poker nerdy. Don't worry about it.
Right. Right. Well,
so, yes, he was there.
At least he had a
great
turnout.
So it was a good turnout.
Oh, it was a great turnout.
So if you, what'd you say, 40th from the money? So what time does that put you in bed?
I went to bed at around 11:45. 11:30, 11:45.
Not horrible.
Not terrible.
Considering you're so close to the station.
Not awful.
I know I went to bed last night. I was exhausted. I think I went to bed, maybe it's right around 10 or so. And around 1 o'clock, I leaned over. I just did one of those deals where, you know, if your wife's not in the room with you, you wonder what's going on.
Sure.
I check. I said, well, maybe she went to lay down with one of the girls or something. Sometimes that'll happen. No, no, no. And then I go downstairs. She's tending to my mother. No, no, no. She's doing work down in the basement till like well after 1.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Just has some like deadline stuff that needed to be done.
Yeah, I don't like that. No.
I was like, what are you doing?
I've never, as long as we've been doing this job, I've never woken up, not once, to do any sort of Junks related work.
Yeah, she had to do like deadline stuff that, you know, I guess needs to be done.
Call me crazy. I didn't wake up at 3 a.m. last night to catch up on what the Nats did, even though I did get a lot of tweets.
Yeah.
Where people were like,
come on,
they're like, oh, the Money Metal Cake strikes again.
Oh, because
go bet all your money on the Nats over.
Yeah.
And of course, they score three total runs in the game. Now, just to let everybody know, full disclosure,
yeah,
I was lazy and forgetful, and I did not place any wagers on the Nationals yesterday. But I did find it kind of funny that I was expecting a dozen runs, and there were three.
The A's pitcher was throwing a perfect game into the sixth. Until Riley Adams hit the bomb.
So it's very
typical.
Well, I saw
at one point, but the Nats had one hit. I don't know how many did they finish with.
Four.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was great for Cavalli. First time in the
he looked, you know, his changeup. His changeup was sick.
Well, they said he was hitting 100.
Oh, yeah. His fastball is good, too. But his changeup, he's from like changes at 89, 91, 90. You know, he had those guys off balance.
Said
he was really good.
A little tired in the fourth inning, but he still was pumping it in there 96, 97. So, again, he may not have been one of their highest rated prospects, you know, early on, but I do think he's one of their top guys that they've got there waiting in the wings, and hopefully he can grow from this.
Look, he was a ray of hope in what's been a really bad stretch for the Nationals over the last,
I think at one point,
especially last five or six games.
Chelsea Jane tweeted, the Nats, this organization really needed those four innings.
Right.
Those were very important innings for this organization. Something to build on.
Yeah, needed some form of optimism in just a rudderless loss.
I mean, he hadn't pitched his 2022 in the bigs,
mm-hmm.
So he just had so many injuries. And
remember, he had
like the Tommy John,
and then maybe there was like a setback.
Yes,
I don't think they had to do it again, but there was definitely a setback,
right?
And they almost like started all over the rehab,
right?
So it's good to see him out there. Yeah,
I mean, he's probably battled through so much crap in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was good, man. He was impressive.
All right, so something to build
something
on.
Something positive at Nats Park last night, right?
Yeah. I know I was watching some of the joint practice stuff before I went and teed off myself, and I was getting a lot of updates. I'm sure we'll talk about that throughout the show today.
Mm-hmm.
That was good to have that going.
We'll be joined by Ben Valin, covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. He was definitely on site for that yesterday in Foxborough.
Yep.
It sounds like the Patriots got the better of us. On the whole, but there's some things there to be encouraged by. So
I was watching NBC4 last night, and JP Finley, of course, he was out there. He was right outside of the stadium doing his live shot, and he said that he said Jane Daniels was really good,
right?
Mm-hmm. Was sharp.
Ben Valin said the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a text from somebody else who was there. He said that the offensive line was dominant.
I heard Tunsil was doing work. It sounded like Connolly looked impressive.
Yep.
So that's good. Those are good, encouraging signs.
They need Terry. They just didn't have a deep threat.
Didn't sound like the wideouts did anything of note, which that's great for Terry.
Well, they said Brooks made a one-handed catch. Somebody said Brooks made a one-handed catch in the end zone that Jaden was excited about. And McCaffrey had was probably a touchdown in the end zone in the 11-on-11. But by and large, Patriots scored maybe six or seven touchdowns. I think the Commanders maybe had two or three. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. They need Terry.
Yeah.
They certainly didn't even have
Noah Brown. I mean, just don't have a lot of deep threats. But hey, you know what everyone's raving about too? Zach Ertz.
Just a consummate pro.
And this is for the Ben Sinnott crowd. And I am a Ben Sinnott truther.
Ben Sinnott stan right here.
I'm team Ben Sinnott.
Yeah.
I keep hearing he's fine.
Yeah.
Don't expect a lot because Ertz is just balling.
Just balling out.
And Bates is considered, the guy I was listening to this morning said Bates basically considered the best blocking tight end in the game.
When
you have Ertz doing it, it's just not a lot of time for him.
Another guy breaking down like the fact that Sinnott is a really good like run blocker. That they value him with that.
Yeah, he's good at
which
that
is,
too.
That's fine, but do you really draft that guy in the second round?
No, here's the thing.
I don't know. I'm a little bit vexed.
No, here's the thing, Kicks. Here's the Ben Sinnott story.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't expect Zach Ertz to have all this left in him.
Sure.
And the tight end coach said yesterday, it might not be this year.
Yeah.
It might not even be next year. But eventually, Ben Sinnott is going to show out. People are going to see what he's got.
Okay.
Maybe he just has a better
He
happens to be behind a guy that's balling late in his career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Zach Ertz stays healthy...
And they
healthy,
still might need him.
They still might need him, you never know.
If Zach Ertz plays 15 games, he's going to catch 65 balls. He's going to score 7 or 8 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's
going to basically have a carbon copy of what he did last year.
Supposedly, you know, especially with Terry not there, he is Jaden's number one guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a guy he leans on.
Everything
especially
over the middle
down to the red zone.
It's pretty much to him.
Yeah.
The other stuff goes to Debo and like Austin Eckler.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe McCaffrey gets one or two. But when you don't have Terry out there and you don't have Noah Brown, that's what it is.
What did they say about my boy Drake May? How did he look yesterday?
I heard he looked pretty good.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right, it is an Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows, they're measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. I mentioned Ben Vallin. He's going to be on the show at 7:20. We'll talk about the Commanders-Patriots joint practice leading into the preseason game, which is tomorrow night. And Chris Doering, longtime friend of the show.
College football is 16 days away.
Love it. He will join us coming up at 8:45, so you don't want to miss any of that. And, of course, you can call us throughout the show. We will get into the Junk Sports page when we come back.